I didn't know him, but I went up to him, because this behavior was now familiar to me, and I asked, "What are you looking for here in the forest?" He answered me, "I would like to know the same from you. What are you looking for here in the forest?" And I said, "Nothing but peace, peace, and I want to think." He said the same thing, "I just want to think, I just want peace." But he didn't look like it. He walked back and forth so nervously and so quickly, he was restlessness itself. Then I first moved away a little. I tried to think about all these encounters and to find explanations for them. I also looked for the way back, how to find my way back as pleasantly as possible. But nothing really came to mind. Then I went back to the restless man and said, "I know you are not looking for peace here, and you will not find it either." Then he asked me, "Do you have any shot or bullets with you?" I said, "No. Where can I get shot and bullets? I don't need shot or bullets, I don't need anything like that." "Well, then it's good if you don't have such things with you." Then I asked him, "Why are you asking me? Do you have such things with you?" "No," he said, "not anymore." "Ah, not anymore. But you had it." "Yes," he said, "I had it, and I just don't want to have it anymore." "What do you mean by that?" "I want to throw the gun away." "Why do you want to throw the gun away?" "Because I don't want to see that happen." "Oh. Did you kill someone?" He was quiet for a while and then said, "I didn't kill anyone." "Oh yes, you did kill someone, otherwise you wouldn't be standing here in this forest." Then he replied, "Yes, I killed someone." "And now, what are you doing?" I asked. "I'm not leaving this forest, I can't." "Why not?" "I can't stand up in front of the others." I actually felt sorry for him. He said he couldn't stand up in front of the others, I couldn't either, and none of the people I had met could either. Then I said to him, "Are you sorry you did that?" "Oh," he said. He said, "I wish I had never, ever in my life held a rifle, a shotgun, anything like that in my hands. Of course I wish it hadn't happened." "Yes." Then I talked to him for a while. He asked me what I had done and I told him, "I embezzled money. I should have transferred money to charity and considered it my own." He thought that was less bad than what he had done. But I said, "Whether you did it or I did it or he did it, it's all bad." "Now," I said, "come on, we could go back together. I have the feeling that two people might have more strength to stand up in front of the others, then the attention won't be drawn to you alone." "We can go together," I suggested. He then asked for a little more time, he wanted to think about it. And I promised to come back then. I then went back to the bank once more, but I found that it was useless to be there. Then I went back to the maid and asked her, "Would you not like to cross with me? Look, I have something on my shoulders too." She said, "Never, I cannot. Imagine that I am a murderer, how will I be received? Imagine that I cannot bring myself to do that." Then I said to her, "I think it will definitely come to the point where you will have to go back." But she did not want to. Then I went to the man who was at the stream and asked him if he wanted to come with me. He replied that he would cross with me, but with great fear, if I dared, he would come too. Then I went to the man who wanted to move the markers and asked him too, "Would you not like to stop? Don't you want to go over with me? Look, I have a burden on my back too." Then he said, "Actually, it's probably time to go. How long I'll be here, brooding and digging, I don't know. I think it would be good if I came with you, but I'll think about it." Then I went back to the man in the forest and said to him, "Don't you think it would be good if we both got together now and, before we set off across the way, said a little prayer? Here, in this place, where you have taken on your guilt, committed your transgression, we want to ask for forgiveness, for pardon." "Yes," he agreed. He couldn't pray, but he was already kneeling. And I knelt down next to him. Then we went together to the man who wanted to put the marker back. He no longer removed the earth with his hands or tried to remove it, but pressed it to his body and just lowered his head. I prayed with him and after a while asked him to pray with me, "We should pray together." And then he did it. I said, good. Now the three of us agree that we want to return. You know, I'll get others who I've met. And I asked them, come with me now. Then I led them, they agreed, to the man who was at the edge of the stream, who also wanted to undo the deed so much. We went to him and said, well, look, there are already three of us. If you come with us, there will be four of us, and it's better to go together than alone. But we also want to pray together here, at this place, and we want to ask that God forgives us for the sins we have committed. He agreed, and he also realized, I can't stay here forever, I won't find freedom like this. Okay, I'll pray with you. And then the four of us prayed together. Then we went together to the maid to get her too. When we got to her, she looked at us, seeking help, and said, what should I do, what should I do? I can't, no, I said, you'll never succeed. But there's one thing you can do, come with us. Where? Back with us to where we opened our spiritual eyes. We want to go there together. Yes, we had to persuade her. We started to pray. She prayed with us, she begged, she screamed, she cried. We calmed her down, we took her in the middle and walked away with her. We left everything earthly behind us. We saw, with our hands, with our thoughts, we can no longer undo the deeds. There is only one thing, we stand and say, here we are waiting for punishment. Yes, since we were together, we had the feeling that it would be made easier for us. We prayed on the way across and had the feeling that we were being carried. But the burden was on us, but we still had the conviction, we will be helped, and we must confess what we have done. So we arrived, all together at the same place, where I had opened my eyes. Then we stood there, seeking help. We had the feeling of being strangers. We didn't know where to go, who would take care of us, whether we might be cast out or what would happen to us. And our eyes were looking for help. We had agreed among ourselves that we would all pray in silence and ask God for forgiveness. So we did. And then these angels of God came to us. They didn't speak to us together, but each of us was taken by the arm and led a different way. So we were separated from each other. I felt much better than before and hoped that the others would feel the same. I could find out later how they had felt. But first my crime was now to be considered. And I said, I have done something wrong. Yes, they said, we know. And when I looked up, that woman was standing in front of me. She looked at me reproachfully and said, God is not happy with you and neither is our Savior. What you have done, you cannot make up for in the earthly world. To a certain extent, you can only make up for it here in this world. I did not have the feeling that this woman was doing particularly well, but I had the impression that she was better off than me. Now she left again, that is, she was led away. I was led away too. To my right and to my left was an angel of God. They did not say a word to me. I did not know where the path led either. I only knew one thing, I must face them. And so the path, it was a narrow path, led out of the village to which I had been led. It became very lonely and I had the impression that it was getting darker and the green that I had actually seen before was disappearing more and more. Yes, and I also became cold. The two angels led me into exile and said, it is good that you have become sensible and left this earthly place. And you did well to ask the others to come here. You will be credited for that. But now you will remain in this solitude for a certain time and you will be hot and you will be cold and you will become restless and full of fear. Yes, you must stay here and when we then feel that you have paid off some of your guilt and have become sensible enough, we will fetch you again. And without another word they went away. Actually I had the feeling that I was not far from this village. On the other hand, it seemed an infinite distance to me to reach this old place where I had opened my eyes and which was much more beautiful. Well, yes, I got cold, I got hot, I was afraid. But I started to pray. I begged God for help, to help me, and I declared myself ready to make amends, to take on something and to bear the burden. I wanted to. So I had persevered and I was not unhappy about it. Then suddenly I had a visitor, But it was not these two who had brought me here, but my mother. She visited me, and she comforted me. She did not reproach me at all for what I had done. She comforted me and said, "You must get through this time and then you will make amends. You must make a firm resolution never, never again to do such a thing, never to be tempted like that again." She promised to visit me often and she told me that I would not have to stay here much longer. I was so happy to have received this consolation. My mother visited me often until the time came and these two stern men came to me and took me away. I was led back the same way, to the place where I had once opened my eyes after my return home. I was then taken into further prayer, as you say. I was told various things about my life that had disappointed the divine world and that I had had enough strength to overcome. I was told more of the same and was told that I still had hard work to do. Then I was taken to a workshop. Here I had to work without speaking to anyone else. The work only lasted for a certain amount of time. We were then taken away again and allowed to go to school. There we were taught about the truth of the Christian faith, about Christian laws, about right and wrong. So I began to be zealous and to enjoy myself. And while I was doing my work, I kept thinking about these things that we had been taught about. So I was happy and glad that I had the courage and strength to return. It was a little bad at first, but you could get over it. I also thought about the others and how they were doing. When I was then allowed to talk, I sought out a conversation with an angel and asked him about the others. He was able to tell me, they too were led into distress, but they too have got through the difficult times, and they too are being taught. But it was not yet time for me to meet with them. I was just happy that they were also doing better. So I worked hard, I did everything that was recommended to me. I only wanted one thing, to live to please heaven. So I prayed and made the resolution, if I ever have to enter the earthly kingdom again, I will never do the things I have done again. I wrote that deep in the innermost part of my soul, and I declared myself ready to fulfill all tasks, even if they are difficult, just to pay off my guilt. And that is what happened to me. Suddenly an angel came to me and said to me, "Look, now we will no longer speak about the guilt that you have brought upon yourself. Now you have made amends, and we only want to talk about the future. You have paid off your guilt and shown your remorse, so God has forgiven you. And what he has forgiven is and will remain forgotten. Now we will no longer speak about it, and no one will see what you have done in you. You should now devote yourself with great zeal to the plan of salvation and order and work here in order to prepare for your further ascension. I have done that, and I am still striving for ascension today. I do everything that God's angels tell me to do. I want to live in a way that pleases heaven, because I am aware that I am in the kingdom of God in order to prove myself obedient here. So, dear friends, I have described to you some of my own experiences. I would now like to withdraw. May you all summon the strength and be protected from all temptations, so that God's blessing be upon you, protect you and strengthen you, so that you too may one day become good instruments in the world beyond. Greetings from God." Report of the Ascending Spirit being Julius by Mediator Beatrice Brunner in the Hall on Mar 1 Quarten Caldenstress, Zurich. Original, tape recording. Next case. September 5, 1962, Karen, a children's village in the Kingdom of Heaven. What happens to the small children who return to the spiritual world after just a few days or months? Insight into the care and upbringing of small children's souls. Control Spirit, greetings from God. I am the Control. Dear brothers and sisters, we have chosen a being who tells of his experiences in the spirit world of God. These experiences and the explanations that the being gives in turn impart new knowledge to you. So we try to bring this or that being in alternately so that you can learn about God's laws based on his experiences. May God's blessing be upon you. Greetings. Karen, greetings. Dear brothers and sisters, my name is Karen. I have cared for sick people during my lifetime and it was always a great joy for me to be able to care for children. I loved them more than anything. I was so concerned when little children died. I lived a pious, righteous life, and so I thought that these little people would live on as angels. I had no real idea of the other world, but I believed that people would live on in some form. But I had not expected it to be the way I experienced it when I returned home. I had imagined a completely different world. When I opened my eyes in the spiritual world, my parents were the first to greet me. After them, my guardian spirits introduced themselves and made their comments about my life in passing, as if they wanted to say to me, "Look, we are giving you proof of our activities. We are calling the past to your memory." They explained to me how they had sometimes helped me and the sick people I had cared for, and also told me this or that. With just these few words, it became clear to me that the spirits of God had been next to me during my life, because how else would they have known all about everything that was happening? When I entered this new world, everyone was happy. My parents said, "You loved children so much during your human life. You looked after them with great care, nurtured them and cared for them, and you thought about how they would arrive in the other world, how their lives would continue. We asked that you be allowed to carry out your work with the children, and we suspected that our request would not be refused, because we saw that the angels, who accompanied you, are happy with you. And that is how it is. Our request was not turned down, and so you will go to those children, continue to care for them, and be allowed to live with them, for a certain time." But then they said to me, "But first we want to celebrate our reunion. We are happy that you have now arrived here. We are allowed to live near you, even if not in the same village where you will live. But we only had to wait until you could come here, and then we too were allowed to move up a step." And so I was accompanied by a small group of angels along a beautiful path. On both sides there were the most beautiful flowers, then I saw rich, wide fields, then I saw a wonderful forest, until suddenly they said to me, "We are now at the place where you will live." I looked around and realized that I was on a mountain, and on this mountain there was a village. I had a wonderful view in many directions. The other villages did not seem so far away to me. I had the feeling that one could reach them quite quickly, and yet I suspected that the distances were greater than they seemed to me. Someone explained things to me and said, "Yes, the villages and valleys that you see are so close to your eyes, and in reality they are not far away for you either. Sooner or later you will have the opportunity to visit all these villages and valleys, and you will also see how quickly we get to the place, so there is no distance, as you think. We will tell you about that later, though. First we want to celebrate a reunion with you." And I looked around. I was actually still a bit dazed, because I had a time of suffering behind me. Even though it wasn't very long, I still had the feeling that a great transformation had taken place in me. I actually felt like I had been reborn. I didn't feel any kind of pain. I had become slim and I could breathe so easily. It was so different from how it was in the human body. Breathing was so easy and you moved forward so easily. You didn't get tired at all. I had now walked up a slope with my companion and had the feeling that I was floating, and yet my feet were on this spiritual ground. There was a wonderful village, and in front of the entrance to this village was a particularly beautiful house, and here they wanted to celebrate their reunion with me. They had entered this house with me and everything was so colorful, so beautiful. A large round table had been set and I was now to sit down at this table. They had all sat down with me and each had a place setting for themselves. At first the thoughts came to my mind, "Is it possible? Will people have to eat and drink in heaven too? Will they have to worry about their daily bread like on earth?" These were my first thoughts. I didn't know anything about it yet. My thoughts were clearly seen, and one of my companions to my right said, "You don't have to worry about your daily bread here. In the kingdom of heaven it is always there. It is always given to you when you need it and when it is good for you. And if you want to be happy, if you want to be together in a social setting, there is enough bread. Yes, we also enjoy a meal, but we don't work for the sake of bread." And when I had absorbed these words and looked around to see what everything looked like and who was now at the table, One of these angels spoke up and began to introduce each individual to me, except for my parents. I knew them, they didn't need to be introduced to me. But then it said, "This is a spiritual sister of yours, and this is a spiritual friend." Yes, I accepted it. A spiritual sister, a spiritual friend, I didn't think about it at all. Then it continued, "And this angel has always looked after you during the difficult days that you had with your sick people. For he has a miraculous power that continues to develop and increase within him, and he gives this power to the sick person and to the person who cares for the sick." So everyone at this table was introduced to me, some were my siblings, friends, others were spiritual teachers and guardian angels, each and every one of them was introduced to me. Then an angelic being came with a bowl that was completely full of small loaves of bread. They were round, flat loaves, not the kind you know, but thin slices of bread. This was offered to me first, because I was told that I was the guest today, the big guest, and so I was served first. I took one of these thin slices of bread on my plate. Then this plate was passed around the table. We reached, and each took a small piece of it and placed it on his plate, after which this bowl was placed in the middle of the table. And then two angelic beings came with precious vessels filled with a delicious drink. It was the heavenly wine. First, I was again poured. Each of the two who were ready to serve emptied a small bit into my vessel, then they filled the cups of all the others together. I waited until I was asked to eat the bread and take some of this wine. Then the angel, who I felt was the most important messenger who had invited me to this occasion, because he was dressed very beautifully, raised his cup and looked upwards. In one hand he held this cup, and the other hand he stretched out as if he wanted to take in an invisible blessing or an invisible power, as if he wanted to fetch something. We did the same, I in a somewhat clumsy way. I didn't have the impression that I could hold things out as beautifully as everyone else did, because I had to look to the right and left to see how it was done. This was the so-called grace before meals. This angel said it and asked for God's blessing. He praised and glorified God in his glory. He praised his holy will, which is done in heaven, on earth, everywhere. He praised and glorified Jesus Christ, the Savior, and in his honor they took this cup, drank from it and took some of this bread, broke it in two and ate it. I was actually quite curious to see what these things tasted like. I wasn't as used to the way of this heavenly life as the others. Because my thoughts still went back to the life I had left behind, I still knew the taste and smell of the earthly wine and bread. And then I had to realize, the bread was not the bread that one ate on earth. It was fine, it was a little bitter. I found it delicious. The wine also had a certain bitter taste, and yet it was so wholesome. Everyone who took it and ate it was happy and delighted and expressed their joy that all this was happening now because I had come back. And then I dared to ask the question, why are people making such a fuss about me? I am surely not worth making such a fuss about. They objected and said, you had given so much in love and sacrifice, and the little meal, as they called it, that you are receiving here is only a sign of our gratitude for having fulfilled your task. You had given so much, and now you have taken of the wine from the heavenly gardens, and you have taken of the heavenly bread, the same bread that is tasted in the house of God, it is one and the same bread. This is a little celebration that we have arranged for you. This meal did not last very long, and it seemed to me that these individual beings had so much work or so important things to do. They were having lively conversations, and messengers came into the room where we were together, approached one or the other, brought him a message, and the person in question then immediately said goodbye to us. So one half of the beings soon withdrew again, and the others said that they too had to return to their tasks and fulfill their duties. There I stood alone with my parents and with my guardian spirits, who were with me on my right and left. They said, "Come. Now we will leave this house and walk towards the village where you will find your tasks." Then, while we were still on the way there, my parents explained to me that they did not live in the same village, but on the same level. I could not see this village now, it was behind the mountain. They invited me to visit them and said goodbye, because they too had to go to their tasks. So the angels of God, these guardian spirits, walked with me towards this village. And now am I noticed, it had small buildings, medium-sized buildings and very large buildings. I saw beautiful, magnificent gardens. There were also magnificent forests very close to this village. Yes, the houses bordered the forest, or the forest was so close to the village. Now they led me into a house and said, "First we will go with you into the house where the very small children are raised. These are the children who come here after a short life on earth. They are small, small children, those who have perhaps only lived 2 or 3 days or 2 or 3 months. They are here in this house." I was full of questions. So much had come crashing down on me that I actually didn't know which questions I should ask first. But they said to me, "Just be patient, you will get answers to all your questions." So they led me into this house. It had many floors. But they told me that these children all belonged to the same stage of development, that it made no difference whether a child was on the 5th or the 1st floor. But, they told me, they had decorated each of these different floors with different colors. So I also saw how these children were laid in colorful beds on one floor. There was a wonderful splendor of colors, a wonderful light. It was not a bright light like the one I could remember when I was alive on earth, which they had been able to create there. Rather, it was somewhat subdued, and it was a wonderful, calming feeling to do one's work in this light. It was not like it is on earth, where you have to have artificial light, because in this world I did not experience the night with its darkness, but rather it was a radiance into this house in wonderful colors. And yet one had the feeling that this was another, an additional light that one could experience in its various colors. But all these colors were somewhat muted, gradated one after the other and made a calming impression on me. When I looked at the other floors, I noticed that these children had also once been embedded in the delicate colors, and I was interested in what kind of fabrics these were. I had absolutely no idea what kind of spiritual matter was. The angels recognized my interest and explained, "You see, we too have blankets, we too have silk, we have the most precious fabrics. But they are present in their spiritual purity, in their fineness, whereas with humans it is condensed in their matter and loses much of its fineness and beauty. Beauty is our right and our property." So I looked at these fabrics. I had already touched myself and realized that I no longer had the same hands as when I was alive on earth, and yet there were the same hands. I had just the same hand as I had in my human body, but it was not as bony, it was not as fleshy, but rather it was fine and delicate. And that's how these materials were here. They were so delicate, so fine. And my thoughts were only, if only people could see what a precious thing there is here in the spiritual world. Oh, if only people knew something about it, if only they would believe a little more. If only they believed that life goes on after earthly death. If only they believed that, then they would live their lives completely differently. They would strive more for spiritual gains than for earthly wealth. These were my flashes of thought that played into this vision, this new experience that I now had. So I found the house with these little ones wonderful, and I was interested in whether I could do my job in this house. Because I found the little ones so sweet and so charming, and I would have loved to take each one in my arms and hug them and give them a hug, it would have made me so happy. But I didn't dare. I was there to take a look around and to be informed and to wait to see what task I was given. But I didn't just see the children lying so quietly in their beds, I also saw these many helpers. There was an angel being standing by every second bed, so to speak, because these children had to be looked after, that's what I was told. They will be looked after, and they will grow up. Then I also noticed that they were being brought food. A small, filled vessel was placed to their mouths. This vessel was arranged so that the little ones could drink from it. This vessel was so fine, I could see the mass that was in it. It seemed to me as if the vessel was made of glass, as one has in the earthly world. But here, in this kingdom, it was not the condensed glass, it was a similar material. I was interested in what was happening and asked, What do these children get to drink and eat? And is that really necessary? Can't they, as I imagined, take in food just by breathing? They told me, they only take in part of their food in this way, but it is not enough for their growth. They must be strengthened in another way and they must grow in this way. So they also get food, as you see.